everybody. My name is Shannon Mondor. I created Fulfillment in Faith because I discovered that many people want and are desperately searching for help. People of all backgrounds, whether they suffer from an addiction or not, are contacting me. They are scared, don't know who to turn to, don't know what to do next, have no direction in life, and they are wanting guidance. They have searched me out due to my success story of how I battled addiction to alcohol, mental illness, suicide, and lived with an abusive past. I overcame my past and used my experiences to help myself and to gain knowledge on how I could help others to go forward and to find their greatness within as I have. With those tools, I gained confidence, strength, and freedom, and have since published a book, How in the Hell Did I Get Here? And I am a successful mindset and manifesting coach. I made that choice to help others with my experiences, as I have been where so many are right now. So welcome to my podcast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. I am your host, Shannon Mondor. Today's episode is a continuation of my series, You Are Not the Only One. I was brought forth to do this series because during my healing from my addiction to alcohol, there were so many times that the universe had brought me to silence. And it was during those times when I learned so many things about myself and I was guided. I was guided to talk openly about my past, my abuse, my addiction, and to speak my truth. From those moments of silence is when we learn, we grow, and then we teach and help others. Today, I have a very special guest. His name is Alfredo Zapata, who is here to share his story with us. Welcome, Alfredo. How are you?
Very well, Shannon. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be sharing my story.
So, Alfredo, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself? And then from there, if you would like to just go right into your story of what had brought you to stillness.
Sure. Yeah, well, my name is Alfredo Zapata. I'm from Mexico City. I was born in the late 60s. I'm the only child from a single mom in the 60s, so it wasn't quite common for a family to have only a single mom and only one child. So it was kind of difficult growing up because of that type of situation, meaning socially. But the exercise gave me so much insight for me to become a certified nutritionist. And then after I moved to LA, I became a certified personal trainer. I'm an author, and I've been doing some public speaking as well. And now I'm here helping people to become healthy from the inside out.
Perfect, perfect. So what brought you to your moment of stillness, Alfredo?
That was a time when I was trying to figure out why I didn't have a dad, and why in my family was so much love with my grandparents, my uncle, and my mom, but I still feel some kind of empty pocket in my heart because I didn't feel like I was quite normal. I feel kind of insecure in a way because I didn't think that that was what it was supposed to be. I mean, being pretty young and having so much love from adults, it kind of gave me that shelter. But at the same time, I was like, I feel like I need something, especially on family gatherings where everybody was there with their family and sister and brother and dad and mom. And I was just there with some adult, with my mom, my uncle, but there was no dad around. So that father figure kind of gave me a bit of anxiety at my early age, because sometimes even in the birthdays, there was just my mom, maybe my grandparents. Happy birthday, maybe one kid or two will come, cut the cake, give me a gift, and that was it. There was no really a celebration like in some other places that I went to where there was like tons of people and party and balloons and things and everything. So every time I will go to those places, I will feel good. But at the same time, coming back home, it was kind of like empty. Just me, the only child, with like four or five adults. There was never any environment of like aggression or anything out of the ordinary, but a lot of love. But walking and running outside of my area on the weekends, because it was a business district, around 5, 6 years old, that started giving me a sense of security. I felt like I was walking and running and feeling in control of my little body, and feel like I was doing something that gave me power, something that gave me security. Then later I did football, soccer, which it was my uncle who taught me, but I was bugging him to get that teaching to do it because he was doing it and he didn't want me to do it because it was for adults. But then martial arts came and it gave me so much security, even though it was fake, because I wanted to put a curtain in front of me. I want to feel strong. I want to feel tough. I want to feel intimidated by no one, even though I was pretty young, like 11, 12. Then I switched to Taekwondo, which was Shotokan Taekwondo. 5 years. I spent about 10 years of my life practicing martial arts, covering that emptiness, not having a dad. And I had the love from my parents, I mean, from my mom and my uncle, my grandparents, but I would still feel like it wasn't enough. And it was a child that was growing up sometimes alone, kind of shy, kind of sometimes very impacted by the emotions from the outside. If someone yell at me or someone look down on me, I will feel pretty down, pretty insignificant. Even though I start doing weight training years later, I start feeling like I was getting some type of protection, some kind of shield, like a superhero, but it still was empty. So then the nutrition career came to Mexico, and I felt like I was doing exercise, I was doing bodybuilding. So that particular subject was going to be a matching for me, also for giving my mom a good sense of fulfillment, because I'm the only child and I was supposed to study medicine, but because of being insecure, I wasn't really putting my effort studying. So I tried to make it up with my mom and said, "Mom, nutrition career just came out, so I want to make it up to you. Uncle, can you sponsor me?" Because my uncle was there pretty much my whole life. And there was someone who says, "Okay, Alfredo, really sure this time that you're going to make it up. You're going to be good. You're going to study and you're going to do all the things that you need to do." And I say, "Yeah, my passion is sports and nutrition." So I study and it went like so much amazing. I was like riding my bicycle in that particular field, anatomy and different areas of the nutrition part and all the different elements. And I was excelling very well. Towards the middle of my career, I met someone who was an older peer who was the head of the kitchen of this main hospital in Mexico. But he needed to have the diploma in order to continue his work at this hospital. We became good friends, but he was kind of the mentor or the father figure that I didn't have, who was teaching me some things about life, some things about having fun. And because being naive and very much looking for someone to teach me, I started getting into the social drinking. Even though I was practicing sports, even though I was studying nutrition, and I was supposed to be learning and getting trained to help people to nourish their body to become healthier, to recover from injuries and all the other areas of eating healthy. I was trying to fill that void that I carried for many years with the alcohol. The social gatherings began to be more something that I was looking for rather than studying, and I started living two lives. Like I was really going into a different direction, then I didn't know how to stop it because I was covering from my mom and the people who knew me. But at the same time, I was trying to continue with that particular lifestyle that led me to sometimes become a liar and really cheating on my promise to be a good student, a good son. And things start going out of control sometimes because sometimes I will lie. Then I was somewhere when I was partying, and my mom was always worrying, saying, "Where are you? What are you doing?" And I would lie to her, saying, "A friend of mine is in the hospital, so I'm going to stay with him." But in the meantime, I was hanging the phone and going back to the party, going back to trying to get that void filled up with alcohol and not really recognizing that I was destroying myself literally. And then I feel like, what am I doing? How am I going to get out? But that will just disappear in my mind because all the excitement and the emotions that I was living during those years, it was more powerful. So we'll continue on. I graduated. And at that time, a good friend of mine from the gym, he went to the place where it was our dream, the Mecca of bodybuilding, Los Angeles, California, and Venice, right where all the incredible athletes were there, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Lou Ferrigno, and different famous stars of the sport. And I was like, yeah, I want to go over there. I want to know what it is, how it looks like. So this friend, Alex, moved to LA and he started becoming acquainted with those type of people. And I felt so excited because I said, Alex is my friend and I'm gonna go see him. But even though I was still limping with that vice and I was still sometimes drinking and staying at someone's house because I couldn't go back home, I said, I need to go. And that incredible desire to see that place, it was like so strong, even though at the same time I was partying, like, no, not tomorrow. I trying to gather everything to put my passport, to put my little money that I was able to save. And I told my mom, I'm gonna go see Alex. I have vacations at school. I have my visa, my passport, my bank account. I have a couple of dollars. I'm just gonna go see him because Alex became part of a good friendship that we have with his family, with my family. There was no harm. So my mom said, okay, well, you be careful. So I went in the bus for 36 hours to the border, and I was so excited, and I had my Dodgers jacket and everything just ready to cross the border. And when I handed my passport to the officer, they say, okay, where are you going? Okay, give me a second. They went inside the office, they came out, and they canceled my passport. So my passport was canceled with no question. And I said, but I'm just going to visit Alex. I'm just going to see my friend for a week. And they said, no, you cannot enter. Here's your passport. And next. So I felt like I felt like I was like in a dry in a nightmare. I didn't feel like I was in the real life happening that. And I said, I cannot believe it. I feel so devastated. And I feel like, well, I only have a couple of dollars. Well, maybe a little bit the more than a couple of dollars. So I flew back to Mexico drinking. And I feel so bad that when I got home, my mom says, oh, you're back. And I said, yeah, I don't want to talk. And I just went to sleep. And I feel so bad because I was just getting crushed my dream and all the incredible memories that I wanted to have with Alex and everything that we talk on the phone. It was just vanished. So I say, well, I'm studying nutrition. I'm trying to be a good boy, but at the same time, I was carrying my baggage with that alcohol vice that was kind of destroying myself. But I said, I'm not gonna let that happen. I'm gonna finish my schooling. I'm gonna graduate. I'm gonna make it as fast as possible. And I'm gonna cross the border. I made my mind that I was going to cross the border. Talked to Alex. He gave me directions and who to talk to get me connected with the guy who was gonna help me to cross the border because I was so determined. At that time, I was angry, but I was also determined to make a change.
And you mean crossing the border illegally, correct?
Yes. I say I'm not gonna ask for permission. I'm gonna really make up my plan like in the movies, and I start trying to gather whatever cash I got because at that time I wasn't working. I was living with my mom and my uncle and my aunt. And my mom says, "But are you sure you're gonna go, Alfredo?" And I say, "Yeah, mom, I'm just gonna go see Alex. And if it doesn't work, I'll come back." And some of the people, even some of the family members, they said, "What are you gonna do, Alfredo? You're gonna leave your mom by herself? You don't know how to speak the language. You don't know how to work. You don't know how it's over there. You're just gonna get destroy your life. What are you gonna do?" And I said, "I don't care. I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna go, and that's it." So my mom says, even 2 weeks before my trip, she said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yeah, mom. Just bought the ticket, and I'm gonna go see Alex, and I'll let you know when I get there. And if it doesn't work, I'll come back." And I was so excited, and I went again through the whole 36 hours to the border. At that time, there was no cell phones, there was no computers. So I called a person. They told me where to meet him because it was a specific way of doing these arrangements to cross. So I got there in the afternoon, and we had to wait until the midnight hour. That's when we're supposed to get picked up by someone to take us to the border and to start planning this particular escapade and cross and be able to have success, which I was excited, but at the same time I was a little bit of afraid. There was, a few people in the same group. It wasn't too big, probably like about six, seven people. One of them was a woman, there was another guy, and myself. But also I wasn't really prepared because when you do that kind of move, you have to be as light as possible. You're not supposed to carry any luggage or any bags or nothing. But I was carrying like a handbag because that's what I had, a couple of my jeans and a couple of t-shirts and something else that I put inside. But I also had the money that I was going to pay the guy who was going to cross it, which was a total mistake. That could have been robbed or anything. And the guys didn't know. I was pretty lucky because after almost 6 hours trying to cross and hide and run because of the border patrol was with this infrared eye trying to spot people trying to cross. It was like a movie. It was like an action movie with some drama, but also feeling like I don't want to get caught. I want to get to the other side. And even this guy was promises, we guarantee that we get you there. Even if they deport you, we're going to get you back and bring you to the place where you're going. So finally, after six, 7 hours of running and being totally out of breath and like just giving the last push, and one of the times was like running away because the border patrol stopped the car and they start running behind us. trying to catch us. It was like, I don't want to get caught. And I grabbed one of the guys from the shirt that was running in front of me, and I pull him to get a little more push and impulse. And I was able to get and hide to this like a little bushes area where there was no way to get found by these guys. And we went there for like about maybe an hour until a van came and we hop in it in the back. They put some blankets in it. And then we went for like a couple hours until we head to LA. And that was incredible. And that was incredible because.
That does everything you're saying, I can imagine. And I'm thinking, like, holy smokes. Like, this is like a movie, what you're talking about. Like, this is incredible. You must have been so scared, Alfredo.
Yeah, I was, but at the same time, I felt like I needed to give my best at that time because I think the adrenaline was flowing so much, but at the same time with the motion and the whole action, it was like I was one of the characters of an action movie and a drama also because I felt like I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna do it. And maybe the fear wasn't as strong because the desire of making it.
May I
And then
ask,
the other,
how old were you, Alfredo? How old were you at this
I
time?
was in my early 20s. I just graduated. So I was with that enthusiasm, but also with that particular of either I do it or I die. But it was like really something that gave me some kind of power. And back then it was like, not too much of what can you do when you're going into these stressful situations. It was more like the instinct. Like everybody was going to a place, everybody was trying to save their skin. And we made it. They cut a couple of people because they were in these motorcycles as well, like the ones they run on the sand. And they had some patrols as well, but because we were a group of maybe like 8 or 10 people, it wasn't enough agents to run behind to each of them in catches. So I was able to make it with like about 4 or 5 people. Then the guy who was taking us through the whole scenario had a walkie-talkie, and then he communicated with the van so he can park on the right spot, being able to hop us in the van and then go through the freeway and being able to pass some of the places where they check out people. And we were able to cross all the way to LA. So I arrived to my friend's house, to Alex, around 7 or 8 in the morning. So imagine it was starting like almost 1 o'clock in the morning, all the different scenarios, running, hiding, and getting chased. It was about 4 or 5 hours. So we got all dusty and dirty, and finally, hello, Alex, how are you? And then from there, I felt like I was in another planet because I said, well, what I see on the movies, what I see on the magazines, it's nothing compared of what I see here. The houses are made with wood and then they patch them up and then they make a house. And then in Mexico, they put concrete and they put steel bars and things like that. And it's different how they turn on the street, the people and everything. It was kind of like so new, but very exciting. But one time we went to this party. It was a family party because he was just newly married with this Latin woman. There was some alcohol there. And my other self starts saying, this is what I need. Because even though I crossed the border and I'm in a different country, I still carrying my baggage. Emptiness inside of me needs something to fill it. And I start doing once again drinking socially, even though I was just trying to compose myself and being polite and not being out of control. I was still feeling that voice slowly. And through the whole month and a half, then I was there with my friend and his newlywed and his brother, because we were in one apartment, a nice apartment, one bedroom with four people, new married couple, his brother, and myself. And on top of that, I was still looking any chance I got to drink, whether a beer, whether anything, to feel that sense of security, sense of feeling secure. So my friend, even though we party in Mexico, he said, "You know what? I think you need to think if you want to go back to Mexico. I can help you out. I can give you a plane ticket, and then you can go back." At that time, I was already thinking very seriously of making myself into this new beginning, even though I was limping with this vice. So I went into the English class for adults. There was this high school that was teaching free classes for adults. So I said, "No, Alex, why don't you help me to move in? I met this guy who delivered newspapers in this big condominium by the beach, and making good living. So he asked me if I can move in with him. I will get a job and I can start paying for my own expenses." Okay. Well, thank you for coming. Have a good life and see you later. From that point, I start really making some money, but I was still drinking. I was living with somebody else, and there was no ending for me to continue that drinking and trying to feel complete. Even though it wasn't quite like in the past, I was trying to control the work that I had with my vice. So I was becoming like a Jack and Mr. Hyde in the Latin body. And I was like, "Well, yeah, I'm in a different country. I'm in a different place, but I was still living two lives, morning and night, morning and night. Good person, party person." My English start becoming a little more fluent, but at the same time, I was still with that void. They took me to meet other people. They gave me a good support, but at the same time, end up saying, "Alfredo, I think we need to part our friendship because, you have your problems, I have my problems, and I think it's better that we can split, and I wish you well." So at that time, I bought this little sports car that was kind of messed up from the front end. So the only thing I can use it for was just to dip in. And that was my house. That was my place for at least 3 or 4 months, where I had to park it somewhere safe. Then I can try to make some work and try to be, in my car, being able to drink and to feel that void. I parked my car right in front of this gymnasium, Gold's Gym Venice. I'm not proud of saying it, but that's what it was. And I parked next to like three or four people who came from different countries and different, trying to make it up on bodybuilding or trying to make it up on Hollywood. And there was people who were so open to express how they feel and what they do. But the common denominator was some type of alcohol. And that was something that kind of gave me no hope, but it gave me some place and I felt accepted. I didn't feel rejected. I didn't feel judged or criticized. I felt like the alcohol was something that bind us together but at the same time, it was just to talk about our failures and how the alcohol was giving us some type of relief. So one night, I drove my car around the area looking for food. It was after midnight, and there was some gas station. They have a 24-hour markets with food, and I parked in one of them, and I went inside trying to look for food, even though I had some alcohol in me. I was able to coordinate to get out my car and walk inside. I asked the attendant, "Where is the food?" There was no food in there. Got upset, and the attendant says, "We don't have food yet. It's cooking, but if you don't leave, I'm gonna call the cops." That particular word got me to realize, well, I'm in trouble if the cops come because I'm illegal. I'm drinking and I don't want to get caught. So I walk scared out of that store and I forgot my car. I walk back to the parking lot where I was staying with my friends and I sleep in one of my friends' car. I didn't recall how I got there. I just realized it was just the inertia and something that got me to be safe somewhere. When I wake up on Sunday, I realized that I was in a different car. I was next to my friend, and I said, "What happened?" I think something happened, but I wasn't able to recall what. I didn't remember a thing. And one of the guys who was washing cars in that parking lot says, "What happened, Alfredo?" And I say, "I don't know what's my. Have you seen it?" And he said, "No. Because I just saw you walking inside in the middle of the night to Paul's car and you went inside and sleep." And I said, "I didn't remember." So I start panicking because I said, well, in my car was all my clothes, all my belongings, a little money that I had saved, and where's my car? I feel like I like it was in a nightmare. And he said, "Don't worry, hop on my car and let's drive around to see if we can find your car." So we drove about 5 blocks, and around the corner, it was this gas station. And there it was, my red 280Z. It was intact with everything inside. And I feel relief. But I feel like, wow. Really, this wasn't a good thing. Something is happening inside of me. I don't remember things. This is not good. I drove back to the parking lot, and the whole afternoon of that Sunday, it got me to realize that I was destroying myself. I was just living a life with no purpose. And I felt like no one knows me. My mom doesn't know me. I don't even know who I am. If I don't do it, no one is gonna. So I made up my mind and I said, I'm gonna quit this vice. I'm gonna cut it for sure right now. And I'm gonna promise myself and I'm gonna clean. Because I wanna start a new life. So I went to sleep that night, and that was around 1992 when I made that promise. Until this day, I have been drinking alcohol. That opened an incredible door for me starting that day because I felt like I was really finding myself. I really started, there was hope, there was something better. And I thought, well, I made it. The same way I made it when I crossed the border, I made it and I feel good. I feel that I accomplished something worth it. And I start seeing different, the environment, the lights, boom, everything started. Even though I was in the same body, but my mind started feeling like I was entering a new dimension, a new life. From that point, I started getting more into the exercise. I start connecting at different thinking. The guys from the parking lot were just acquaintance, but I wasn't really participating in their gatherings, drinking. It was more like to detach myself physically and mentally from that. Not because I was judging them, but because I felt like I was becoming a new person. And I started meeting people who started giving me that particular support. And I felt like, in some way, in some particular manner, I started seeing a new light. And this one person that met me at the gym, because throughout the whole time, I was able to work out at this place. And I was able to get that inspiration to see all these people exercising and working with good and incredible consistency. And I said, well, this is something that brought me here because of my passion, but also like this is my lifesaver in some way, because someone that I met there asked me, why don't you get certified? I think what you know is pretty good. And I think you can make a living out of what you know, what the passion you have. So I went in there, I got my CPR certification. I went to apply to one of the gym chains in that area. And I got hired. I was so surprised because I said, well, I just started a new life and I just getting this right on my lap. What a blessing. What an incredible opportunity. And even that, I didn't feel worth it, but I said, I got it. I don't know how, but they believe in me. Now I need to believe in myself. So little by little, I start climbing the ladder of getting more knowledgeable. I start meeting different people. I started seeing life with a new outlook. I felt like I was really growing as a really mature person that was really appreciating life, really going into a different route, not just superficial, but more internal. That's when I start thinking more into how can I help someone? How can I give to someone? And becoming a personal trainer started giving me that sense of caring for others, have empathy for others, but at the same time, I was just the vessel that was filled with that cup full of love, full of joy, because I was giving a chance to someone to be healthier. And I see they start taking me to other areas where I see the nothing is impossible. When you put your mind to it and you persist, in some way, I didn't know how to do it. It was just my intuition. And I think I listened to mine. And that's where it started taking me to get all these different particular parts in my life. And I felt like, wow, it looked like a movie. Because when I first started becoming confident with myself, it was when I was pretty young. Then I went through different stages in different chapters of my life. And I encountered that I was the principal of making any decisions. The principal person, the main actor, it was playing all these different roles. And I was there in a different country, living a dream and feeling fulfilled, feeling happy, feeling secure. And I start connecting in some way with myself. I feel like discovering my greatness. It was something that gave me so much power, and there was no power to pretend to be someone or to show off to someone. It was more like a feeling complete and secure that I can share with someone what I went through and help someone to heal from the inside out. And that's how I call my program, Connecting Mind and Body Can Heal from the Inside.
That's quite a story, Alfredo. Like that really touched me. All the different phases that you've gone through. And just looking back at your life now, what do you feel was the most important thing that you learned from that journey that you want to share with the audience?
What I feel the most important lesson was, I never stopped dreaming. I never stopped looking at the end. I just start looking, not necessarily consciously, but unconsciously, that there was a way, a different way to do things, to start new things. I think my curiosity and my adventurous mind took me to different places by choice, even though sometimes it wasn't conscious. But I was always looking for a way to find and to get things done despite of any circumstances, any something that I think we never stop working on it, because the moment that we stop is when we get frozen and we don't know there is another way out. So I think never stop dreaming and never stop thinking that it's not possible. At the same time, thinking that as long as we're alive, we have a chance to find a way. So we, what we want.
So, like, I'm just looking at your story and the determination and strength that you had the whole time, even through your battle of drinking. And when I look at that, what is it that you would want to say to others out there? Would you say never give up? What would be your words of wisdom to them? Because you never gave up, no matter what, even though you had all these little teeny paths that disrupted you, right? And the biggest part was the alcoholism that started to take over within you. And what would your advice be to those out there?
That never settle. There is no definite in life. There is never or always. It's something that I needed to erase from my mind. And I think people need to erase it as well, because as soon as we put always or never, we cut in the possibilities to start and to change. And I think when I made up my mind to stop drinking, I didn't settle for what they told me that was going to be my end of my life because of my drinking. I said, there is no definites and there is no always. Because I think as long as we put our minds to it, we can change the course of our lives.
The reason that you drank, you said, was because, you always felt that there was a void within you, which was the loss of you had no father. Where you are in life right now, do you feel that that void is now filled?
Yes, I feel like I got the boy filled up with that self-confidence, but also because I saw a new opportunity to change my mindset. Go to marry an incredible wife. We have two incredible children. And I think life is giving me those lessons to reaffirm that confidence. Then it's closing that void and it's helping me to continue growing because I believe that as long as we're alive, we're in constant progress. We're in constant way of growing.
Absolutely, we are. I agree with you on that too, Alfredo. Now we're getting to the final part of the interview here. And what is it that you would like to share with the audience about where you are now in life? You mentioned that you have a you're a coach. So can you expand a little bit more on that? And whatever, I just want the audience to know as well that whatever he says for his coaching, that everything, all the information regarding Alfredo will be in the podcast notes. So if you want to get a hold of him or anything like that, you'll be able to reach out that way as well. So.
Yes, well, right now, I feel like I've been going through different phases in terms of my profession. I think opening my mind to those possibilities gave me so much vision to do things. And after becoming a personal trainer in the late 90s, it gave me so much confidence. It took me to even connect with other people who invited me to do some public speaking. I was able to connect with this Hispanic network. They gave me someone to meet. They gave me the opportunity to be speaking to the audience in Spanish about self-development, about taking care of the health. And right there, I met someone who invited me later on to write a book. So I became a co-author of this incredible book called Discover Your Greatness. It was a book written in Spanish by 13 writers, all Hispanic. And that opened the door to start getting the message that I have even more stronger. Because I believe that once we connect the mind and our bodies and transform our health from the inside out, we're able to excel in life in many areas, whether it's to conquer a vice, whether it's changing the way we act in terms of even relationships. But the most important one is with our health, with our body. So I started doing this program called Connecting Mind and Body, and I started doing coaching and being able to fortune to meet people like people in the entertainment industry, to work with them in the sports arena, to work with them in that particular setting, not only to exercise and eating healthy, but to change the way we think about our lives. And this program was able to help people, even seniors, even executives. And now I do it online. I do this coaching where people becomes healthy from the inside out in a non-conventional way by going through different sessions that we have in order to really find who they are and what they need to adjust in their lives. So I do these Zoom calls with people. I do the mentoring for people who wanted to either lose weight, tone up their body, or just improve their lives because there's so many people, they don't really think about their lives and health. They just think about how much they can accomplish financially and not really looking at their health. So I do that as well. In Spanish and English. And I'm available on Instagram at Alfredo Zapata Coach. That's what I do my work most of the time. And I'm happy to be here on your podcast.
Well, I'll tell you, I have just been so engaged, like just staring at you on the screen. I'm just like, wow, like you've got quite a story. And I am very, very blessed that you said yes to be on my podcast. So it's definitely an honor for me. So I just want to let the audience know that Alfredo is going to forward me all the information with his coaching and everything. And like I said, it will be on the notes in the podcast. And it's at this time, Alfredo, I want to thank you so much for being on this podcast and for us to have a chance to share our energy. And you've definitely, you've touched my heart. There's no question about it. So I want to thank you. Thank you so much.
Welcome, Shannon. Pleasure to be here.
And I just want to let the audience know too that in the closing notes, if you like this podcast, please subscribe. And I want you to tell as many friends as you can, because this podcast is changing people's lives out there. I also invite all of you that are listening to please go to my website, shannonmondor.com, and check it out and look at my one-on-one coaching. And also my Fulfillment in Faith program, which is a 6-month personal development program, which will totally and completely change your life. And I just want to thank you once again, Alfredo, and I want to thank the audience for listening in. And I just want everybody to have an absolutely fantastic day. So thank you. I want to say thank you for sharing this time with me. And don't forget to subscribe so you receive every episode. And please share this podcast with others. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And if you would like more information on my mindset and manifesting coaching, go to shannonmondor.com. Until next episode, blessings to all, and thank you for being a part of my journey.